Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together. And while I am doing my introduction, I am also going to be making sure that my friends, because we don't have guests on my program, we always have only friends. And today we've got Cyrus Anderson and Dr. Bruce Hallman from the Heritage Museum, and we're going to get an update from them. And so right now I'm going to make sure that we've got the mics going. And Cyrus, would you come in and see if you're on, please?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yep, you're on. And Dr. Hallman.
I am here, Captain Joe.
All right. So we are all of us together. We have just held quarters for muster. And I have to remind these two gentlemen, because both of them are sailors. Cyrus is a Navy veteran, and Dr. Bruce Hallman is a small boat sailor, a teacher, an instructor, a boat owner, and a sailor of some note here on the island. So I have to remind them that there are words and phrases which we are not allowed to use on this program. And since all three of us are old sailors, it is well for them to take a look. Just drop your eyes down to the paper in front of you, and it has the words that you are not supposed to say.
You mean we can't talk like a pirate?
We cannot. We cannot, because if we do, then we run the risk of somebody shorting us out, and the words don't go out. So this is your Captain Joe from the captain's chair on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 and on the FM band and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. And as always, we are not only live, but we are unscripted and we are unrehearsed. And so I never know what's going to come out from the friends that I have on the program. But I always am delighted, and in particular am I always delighted to be able to spend some time with Bruce and Cyrus, because we have worked together for many years on many good things for the good of the island community. So let's start. I'm going to start by doing something that I was asked not to do. Tomorrow is Captain O'Brien's birthday, Truman's birthday. And as he was going out the door, I said, Truman, I'm going to recognize that on the program from the captain's chair. And he said, no, you're not going to do that. And I reminded him of two things. First of all, my chronological seniority. secondly, my seniority in the captain's chair. And then the third thing is that I said two, but I'm going to say three. The third thing is that this is my program, and I get to say whatever I want on it. And so I'm going to say for Truman, the happiest of birthdays. Truman is one of those people in my life who is not only a friend, tested, tried, and true, but also is a great servant of the people of the island of Vashon. And I am fortunate to have him in my life. And whether he wants me to wish him a happy birthday here on or not, is Tango Sierra, and in fact, I am doing exactly that. Happy birthday, Captain. It is my pleasure to recognize that. So, Bruce, I'm going to begin our discussion with you, because you're the president now of the Heritage Museum. I don't know how you how that happened, that you allowed yourself to be elected, but I do know how island people get elected over and over again to positions of authority and responsibility. And it occurs to me, I'm going to put in just a little bit of a plug here for younger people to volunteer, to step up and volunteer to be a part of all of the things that of which we are a part. If I were to add up the years which you carry, Dr. Hallman, and the years which you carry, Cyrus, and the years which I carry, which I happen to know what that is, if I were to add all of those up, we would be freighted down with a number of years that would somebody would say, well, gee, it's time for you guys to retire. Well, let's say that it is time to retire, but where are those younger people, and they need to come and step up and be a part so that all of these good things that we do together can continue? So, so Dr. Hallman, you are indeed a PhD, and you are indeed a historian, and you are all of those things that I admire and respect, and particularly do I admire and respect you personally for all of those things that we've described. So tell us a little bit from the chair, from the captain's chair of the Heritage Museum, what's going on?
Well, thank you, Captain Joe. It's hard to live up to that intro, but I'll try, right? And let me also wish Truman a happy birthday. Truman, as many of you know, and many of you may not know, had a very miraculous treetop landing in his small plane along with his partner, Craig Beals, almost a year ago now. And, and he walked away from it. So we're glad to have you around, Truman, for another birthday and many, many more, I hope, right? But from the museum's perspective, you're right, Captain Joe. It's, and being on the island, this is coming up on my, this is my 49th year. So I'm coming up on my 50th year of living on the island. And, when you're in your 30s and 40s and you're raising a family and you're working and commuting, and it's tough to get involved with things on the island, but people do. And it's good to have that sort of 40 and 50 something generation getting involved with island nonprofits and getting involved with the activities and the politics, if you will, of the island. Vashon's always very unique because we don't have a government. We have local taxing districts and park district and fire district and cemetery district and airport district and water districts and things like that, but we don't have a central government on the island. Our government is King County, the state of Washington, and the federal government. So we don't really make many decisions for ourselves, but we found what I've seen is Vashon Islanders tend to be fairly vocal and make our wishes and desires known to those who do make decisions and have a lot of influence on it. But you're right, Captain Joe, in terms of nonprofits on the island and sort of those agencies that are part of being a life on Vashon. It's very important to have multi-generational involvement and not just having the old folks run it. Sort of those of us who are retired, we have some time that we can dedicate to this, but it's important to reach out. And Cyrus, maybe you want to speak about what the museum's done recently to bring in a whole new group of docents and volunteers.
Yes. As part of the transitions that we've been through with the whole COVID phenomenon, we had a number of people who had been docents for years and years and years and felt like it was time for them to be retiring from docenthood. So we put out a call. And we had, it was like the Alaskan Gold Rush or something. I was amazed at how many people came forward. And we've got a new coordinator for our docents, and she's getting everybody ship shape and up to speed. And there's a whole new generation of people now sitting at the front desk of the museum. And they bring their experiences and their ability to engage people with them. Because they've volunteered for a very special role, which is the docent role. It's where the museum and the public often meet each other face to face. So it's very exciting. It's kind of emblematic of what the COVID experience has been like for the museum, in that we could have been crushed by it, quite frankly, when we first were looking in March of 2020 at our finances. I happen to be the treasurer of the Heritage Association, so I'm kind of on top of that sort of thing. We didn't know what we were going to do because we had a traditional fundraising parties based on bringing people together. Well, COVID made that very difficult, which caused us to have to really kind of reshuffle the deck and re-image how we would underwrite and pay for the kinds of things that the museum wants to do in terms of its planning and its vision for the community. So it's been a very challenging time, but also a very dynamic and creative time for nonprofits and for us in particular.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked a little bit about the challenges, and you have validated my feelings about younger people coming on board. Mm-hmm. So I also know that there is at least one new exhibit or program that you've gotten started. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Hallman, how about if you start off with that and then ask Cyrus to pick up on it, because I'm sure. really interested in that particular program.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been doing, as Cyrus talked about, when COVID hit in 2020, it really forced us to reassess what we do. And we couldn't continue to do things in the way we had. We were in the process of preparing to open in the summer of 2019, or 2020, a new exhibit called Natural Wonder, you know, a sort of natural history of Vashon Island, subtitled an island shaped by water, working in what I think is one of the things that I've seen emerge out of this pandemic is where nonprofits are tending to cooperate more than they have in the past, build partnerships and do things collaboratively. And that's been an important outgrowth of COVID. But like Charlotte Tinkin and Susan's program said just the last half hour, we probably will never go back to what it used to be. I mean, we will live in a post-COVID world, and it will be different than the pre-COVID world. And the museum is trying to figure out what that is. You know, we do a number of talks that are online now. What we found when we do that is we reach an audience much broader than the island. We reach an audience of people who have connections to the island, who live all over the country, all over the world, potentially. And so what we'll probably do in the future is those talks will be some kind of hybrid. There'll be some people present in a space hearing the speaker, but we'll also do it via Zoom, by a webinar, and broadcast it at the same time. Our exhibits, we probably won't do big, massive exhibits like Natural Wonder and In and Out and Native People of Vashon Island, Joy and Heartache, those kind of things. They take a long time to develop. They're dependent on getting people into the museum. And so we're looking at ways to basically do things in the museum, but also do things outside the museum. So we're working, for instance, with the Ellisport community right now to develop an Ellisport Heritage Trail, very similar to the Docton Trail. The folks in Burton are working on a similar kind of thing, and people at Liza Bueller are interested. So, you know, it's that, how do you get the museum out of the museum at a time when people can't come to the museum and probably will never return in the way that they used to pre-COVID?
So I regret that we are having to make those changes, because I really enjoy and have been a part of one of the exhibits, and that was the 100th birthday mm-hmm. for Point Robinson Lighthouse.
Right.
So Cyrus, pick up on Bruce's theme there and talk just a little bit about the what you've got going on currently.
Well, as Bruce was saying, we have recently opened the Natural Wonder exhibit, and we opened that up kind of simultaneously with the Whale People exhibit mm-hmm. earlier, which brought 500 people into our backyard for an evening of dance and music and learning. And it's as I say, that's the kind of thing that is giving us impetus. Even though that was a face-to-face kind of event, it was kind of our first step out like that, mm-hmm. And it went very well, and we're, you know, hoping to be able to do things like that. But again, like Bruce said, we're looking for ways to be able to be out in the community rather than the community coming to the museum.
It is customary with from the captain's chair that whenever I have on friends who are part of an organization which depends on public fund or funding from the public for me to make a donation. And so I'm passing it over to the treasurer right now, a white envelope, which has a donation in it. And I do it like this publicly so that everybody who listens to us will get the idea that it is easy for them to donate, to be a part financially of all the organizations to which they belong and to which they subscribe.
Right.
One thing that I really like about the museum was that both of you are Captain Joe's people, and you hooked up with the Nature Center and Bianca Perler, who is also one of Captain Joe's people. And I thought that that was a completely natural connection. I really liked the way that that was done. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Bianca has been on with me before, and Bianca and I have worked together on a number of things as well. So I really like the way that you all did that and put that together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to move along in a smart and seamanlike fashion. You all know that my custom is to try to cover as many of my regular features as I can and invite you to make any comment that you want, even though you may profess not to know anything about the subject. I often talk about things about which I know absolutely nothing, but can usually bluff my way through. So here's one that came to me today. I got an email from, maybe you got one as well, and if you did, I'd like to hear about it. I got an email from someone called Mashuk Shah, and Mashuk Shah proclaims that he is a person connected with the Angolan National Petroleum and Gas Agency. And Mashuk, I'm now calling him by his first name, although I have not yet responded to his invitation, has given me the opportunity to be a financial partner with the Angolan National Petroleum and Gas Agency and to connect with him so that we can put together some sort of an arrangement which will function to my financial advantage. Have either of you heard anything from Mashuk this morning? Or have you gotten anything like that lately?
Every day. Something like that.
Oh, you know, something along that line. I don't remember this particular reference.
No.
However, there's a lot of people out there playing the wires.
However, I have an offer to get you involved financially with the Heritage Museum.
Oh.
And it may not bring much return other than satisfaction, but we certainly want your financial involvement. So rather than responding to Mashuk, respond to me.
Okay. Well, I've just done that. I just handed a white envelope over to the treasurer. So
see, it's working.
So one of the great things that happens to me in what we all have to acknowledge is certainly the last half of my life. Each one of the three of us are in the last half of our life, no matter how you figure it. And but every so often, I get an email, or this one came to me from LinkedIn. And I only have two of that sort of thing in which I participate. LinkedIn is one, and the other one is the Coast Guard Channel. Mm-hmm. I do not have a Facebook account. I have never looked at a Facebook page, and I will never have a Facebook account, for example, or any of those other ones. So this one came to me yesterday from a gentleman by the name of Mike Morgan. And Mike, it turns out, reported to my ship, Northwind, up in the Great Lakes, right out of boot camp. And he somehow or other had heard this broadcast on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, and clearly he had to have streamed it because he lives in Nashville, Tennessee. And he served one hitch in the Coast Guard. He became an electrician's mate before he got out. And then, among other things, he went to work for Brunswick, the people that make Sea Ray boats.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with the Sea Ray program for apparently most of his working life. And the message that I got from him was on the LinkedIn program, and it said, I listened to you, I've heard your program, and he said, you may not remember me, but I reported aboard in Cleveland. I had Northwind up in the Great Lakes breaking ice all winter long that winter. And he said, but I was your driver one time, and I was supposed to take you for a doctor's appointment, and I got us lost. You may not remember that. And I had to send a message back, and I said, no, Mike, I don't remember that, but I'm delighted that you listened to the program. And I said, you get a mention from the captain's chair this time around, and this is that mention. So one of the great things that happens to me is that people with whom I have been to sea sailed with and come back in the latter half of my life and remind me of some event that took place mm-hmm. in that time. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful phenomenon. And Mike had the grace to say that some of the things that he learned aboard, that was his first assignment right out of boot camp. And he said some of the things that he learned during that first assignment have stood him in really good stead for the rest of his working life. And so I'm enormously grateful, not only when people remember the time that we sailed together, but also have the grace to point out that what they learned and what they did during that time, whether they served one hitch or whether they served for an entire career like I did, had an effect on them for the rest of their lives. So, Mike, many, many thanks for that. And this is your mention. And I looked at your photograph, and I noticed that you are a motorcycle rider. And the photograph of Mike shows him astride a BMW motorcycle. And I happen to know a little bit about BMW motorcycles. I am not a motorcycle person myself, but I know a lot of people that are. And I know that at least some BMWs are shaft drive, not chain drive motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And I see both of you nodding like you know what I'm talking about. So for all of the Captain Joe's people on the Coast Guard Channel who are motorcycle people, maybe Mike will join us on the Coast Guard Channel. And he is a BMW rider, and he is now one of Captain Joe's people. Today is the last day to vote. If you have not yet sent in your ballot here on the magical Isle of Vashon, it's a special election for the renewal of the levy for the school district. And if I never give a recommendation as to how you should vote, but I urge in the strongest of terms that you find the ballot that fell down behind the radiator and extract it, fill it out, and get it in. Today is the last day, any place in the nation where you have a special election. Poa Star is now in McMurdo Station at the U.S. base. Mm. And she left here 86 days ago, and she made a stop. Probably she stopped in Hawaii, although the record doesn't show that. But I know that she stopped in Wellington, and she stopped in Port Lyttelton in New Zealand. And this year she had a 37-mile channel to break into the U.S. base at McMurdo to take in the two ships. One is an oiler, and one is a cargo ship. And she took a month to build the channel. The way it's done is that the icebreaker, first of all, cuts a track from the ice edge all the way into McMurdo. This year it was 27. One year when I did it with a smaller, lower-powered icebreaker, it was 25 miles, 25 nautical miles, and it took me 2 weeks to break that. So you cut the track. And then you go back and you manicure it and you keep working it so that by the time the oiler and the freighter comes, that they can be gotten in without any damage. The oiler this year was one of the Maersk ships, and this is Maersk Perry. Mm-hmm. And she's named for the Arctic Explorer Perry. And she's under the U.S. flag, one of the few Maersk ships, which is a Danish company, normally under the Danish flag or some other flag other than U.S. This one is under the U.S. flag so that she can carry cargo from a U.S. port to a U.S. destination, which McMurdo Station is. And the freighter was carrying 1,000 cargo containers. So now we know where some of the containers are that we've been talking about. Where the hell have they gone? And so so Poa Star so far has not had any casualties. She is, of course, the last of the major icebreakers. When I was the ice boss in my Twilight Tour, I had 6 icebreakers, and including my own Northwind. Now we only have Poa Star, and let her continue to function until we can get one of the new ones. We're coming quickly to the end of our time, and I have a couple of really quick ending remarks that I want to make. But starting with you, Dr. Hallman, what would you like to put out to all of Captain Joe's people who listen to this program about public service? Because I feel very strongly that we may not be able to affect events on the world stage. I could do that at one point in my career for in a very small community, but the polar community, I no longer can do that. And sometimes I get frustrated that I feel like I'm not making any difference. And yet I always advocate for making a difference in just our local area and that will ripple out. So you're an old hand. Both you and Cyrus are an old hand at this business of public service. I'm going to ask both of you to give me a closing remark about that.
Well, I remember back in the 1960s when we were all young and idealistic. You know, and we still are idealistic. We're just not as young as we used to be. But the concept was think globally, act locally. And that's really an adage to live by because, you need to think of the bigger implications. You need to think of the nation and the world and all those kind of things. But it's your own backyard. If you don't take care of your own backyard, if you don't take care of your own people and your own community, you know, everything else begins to fade. And so my sense is that that's important. And that's why I work with the museum. That's why I, as a historian, I focus on Vashon history because it is local to me. And understanding what's going on here gives me a deeper understanding of what's going on in the state, in the nation, in the Western Hemisphere, and in the world, and in the galaxy, if you will.
All right, in the galaxy. Cyrus, over to you,
my
friend.
Yeah, kind of picking up on Bruce was saying, one of the emphases that the museum has is that most people don't think about the fact that they are making history every day in their lives here. And the museum recognizes that and gathers those stories because someday what seems, you know, routine now may in fact be a very important clue to something else in the future that a historian picks up and remember when such and such happened. That to instill in people that they are making history with their own lives. And that it kind of reminds me, there's an old Jewish concept of tikkun olam, fixing the world. Every little thing you do, you plant a flower, you've made the world a little bit better place. The museum is involved in that, making the world a better place and getting people to think about who they are and what they do and how they contribute to their society and their lives. So we're making history and we continue to share that with our folks.
So both of those thoughts coming from two gentlemen of great experience in the world and in the island life, I heartily endorse. And so I have indeed come to the end of our time together, Dr. Hallman and Cyrus, both of you old friends, and I am delighted, as always, to have you with me. And I close by saying that it is my wish and my hope and my command from the captain's chair that each one of you who is responsible for someone else, that you watch their six, that you take care of them as the week goes on. And we're going to meet here again in 1 week. We're going to be live, as always. And I am, as always, your Captain Joe, up on the captain's chair, on station, and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.